Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. An important change is taking place within the ambulance service in Northumberland County on March 26th. That is when a new dispatch system will launch. Its goal is to get the right resources to the right person at the right time. The new system will alter responses to emergencies so that ambulances go to high-priority calls first before attending less urgent calls. It ensures a heart attack is attended before a nosebleed. That did not always happen under the current first-called, first-serve approach. Listen and decide if the changes are going to make a difference to you, your family, and your friends. I'm so pleased to have with me today Susan Brown, the Chief of Northumberland Paramedics. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Well, so happy to see you again, Robert.
Later this month, Northumberland County is going to change how ambulances are dispatched. So first thing, yes or no, do people still dial 911 when they have a medical emergency? Just answer yes or no.
Yes.
What is the change then that is taking place?
Yes, so the provincial government who run the dispatch centers across Ontario have changed to a new system, and it's called Medical Priority Dispatch System, or also known as MPDS.
How does that work?
Yeah. So this system has been around for some time now. Probably back in 1976 was the original move out of MPDS. And a lot of the dispatch centers across Ontario that have been run through municipalities have started with this dispatch system. And probably the key benefit of this system is basically what it says in its title, the medical priority. And it's a way of utilizing our resources to the full capacity. So getting the right resource to the right person at the right time. So it really is a modernization of our dispatch system and really truly trying to get the sickest people the help the quickest.
All right. So I understand this medical priority dispatch system involves something called triage. What is triage?
So triage, we're probably most familiar when we get to the hospital and we're triaged. But with this system, the dispatchers have gone through an extensive amount of training and some medical training that now allows them to answer fuller questions. And they'll ask the person when they call, what happened? Tell me what happened. And by doing this, you get more specific information that will allow them to triage our ambulance more efficiently and more effectively. So for instance, in the past, an uncontrolled bleed. So if somebody had a nosebleed and it would be an uncontrolled bleed and somebody was experiencing chest pain, tightness, difficulty breathing with pain radiating through the back, those would be dispatched to the same level, code 4 lights and siren. Now with this new dispatch system, they'll look at it and say, okay, you have an uncontrolled bleed. Is it a nosebleed? Maybe you've been punched in the nose or hit your nose. And somebody who's having a massive myocardial infarction or an MI, the MI would be dispatched to a higher priority. They'd probably be dispatched now in these new systems. There's colors. They'd be to a purple or a red. And perhaps, the punched nose would be dispatched on an orange. So a lower priority with a longer wait time, perhaps. The dispatchers will coach that person through, apply direct pressure, pinch your nose, et cetera. So it's really a better system that the dispatchers are trained and have gone through a lot more training now and can ask the question, provide some medical assistance, and utilize our ambulances to the best ability.
This ability to categorize the different incidents, the calls, and then being able to then say this is high priority, this is a lower priority, instead of just having them all the same, first come, first serve. That might make a lot of sense. But then if I'm on the other end of the phone and I'm obviously very agitated. There's fear, there's anxiety. I'm going through a lot. How does this help me? You know, all of a sudden I'm going to be told, well, it might be 30, 40 minutes, maybe an hour, who knows, before we get to you. How are you going to handle that? Because that seems like a really tense moment to be suddenly being told, well, sorry, we're not going to get to you as quickly.
Yeah, no, for sure. Great question. So the dispatchers are also trained in, asking the appropriate questions, de-escalating or talking through the person and listening to what they're saying is happening. The other thing is there's check-in points. So people are always told, and even now today in the current dispatch system, an ambulance will be sent to you. And if anything changes, call back. And they'll also do check-ins. So as you're prioritized, and the different levels are purple, red, orange, yellow, green, they'll be told that if anything changes with your condition, please call back. And as well, they'll have call-in points or checkpoints, every 5, 15 minutes and call the person back to see if there's been any change in their condition and be able to provide them some help and some first aid instructions.
Now, the press release says that MPDS, or this Medical Priority Dispatch System, will help to ensure the right paramedic resources get to the right person at the right time. Is that not happening now? What does that mean?
Yeah, so as I said in the first example, the uncontrolled bleed or someone who's short of breath, but perhaps they're always short of breath because they've got chronic shortness of breath, or, for instance, maybe they stub their toe and they're short of breath. In the current system, the dispatcher would ask, are you short of breath? As soon as the person answers yes, then that would be dispatched as a code 4. And in our current system, we just have two different levels. We have a code 4 and a code 3. The only difference between the two is lights and siren. In this new system, we'll have 5 different levels. And so I think, when you have somebody and different emergencies, I think being able to dispatch them appropriately with the right resources. For instance, we've got advanced care paramedics, primary care paramedics, supervisors, and as well our tiered response with the fire department and police. So it truly is getting the right information and dispatching the appropriate resource or the most appropriate resource the quickest to the sickest patients.
Now, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that this is something that's being driven by the provincial government. But I'm a little curious as to why is it being adopted now?
Yeah, so great question. As I said, some dispatch centers are run by the municipality or by the city. For an example, Toronto has always been on MPDS, and I'm going to say probably for 20-some years. Niagara went and did the MPDS. This was a pilot that was launched approximately 15, 20 years ago. And those systems and those services really enjoyed and benefited from it. It was requested and asked for quite some time now, 10, 15 years, for all of the services, all the dispatch centers to adapt MPDS because of the efficiency and effectiveness of it. So in a way, it's kind of the modernization of dispatching. I think perhaps, it would have happened earlier, perhaps if we say no COVID 5 years ago. But it's something that a lot of services, municipalities, chiefs have been asking for because it truly is the most effective system.
Well, you've talked about it now on a provincial level, but how about on a local level? Was this something that you brought forward? Was it something that the county decided at one of its meetings? Or was this something that just the provincial government come along and said, guess what? You're number 438. It's your turn to be served.
Yeah. So it was the second. The ministry launched and said that we are releasing MPDS. We'll start the rollout. They started in Peel. I think Peel's had it now for about 3 years, 3 to 4 years. And then they launched their program and how it would be released. So it kind of went to Peel. I think Halton went north up to Kenora. It's gone through Ottawa. It's went through Renfrew. Kingston just launched February 5th. And then we're due to launch through Lindsay Dispatch, which would be Northumberland, Peterborough, Kawartha, and Haliburton. And we're all due to release through Lindsay Dispatch on March 26th. And then it'll continue to Durham and then make its way across the full province of Ontario.
How much does this cost? Is there any additional charge for this kind of a system? Is it going to affect the budget at all?
For us locally, no. I'm not sure, to tell you the truth, across Ontario or the province. As I said, there's a lot more training. It's a certified program, so that our communications officers through the province, they have to be certified annually. So like I say, there's a lot of data, there's a lot of statistics, there's lots and lots of training. So I think it's a better, more sustainable program. And again, at the effectiveness and efficiencies of utilizing our resources.
Now, when you talk about the training, is that training at the dispatch end or is that training at our end here in Northumberland?
Yeah, so the extensive training was at the communication officers at the dispatch end. We've trained our paramedics now through two of our continuing medical educations that we have. And just explaining what the different colors mean, the timelines, et cetera. But the biggest education was at the dispatch level for sure.
We've been talking a lot about dispatch, but is it going to impact the paramedics?
No. No, they'll still go in and they'll start their call from the beginning. As we know, you know, sometimes not everything is translated across a phone. And so once the paramedics get there on scene, they'll start their assessment as they've always have. And you're right, that communication is constantly between the communications officer or dispatch and our paramedics. The paramedics are excited about this. They've seen it in other systems across the province. They see that it works and that based on the statistical evidence, and you can imagine how many calls are in the queue since 1976. So this really is best practice, best evidence, and the most efficient way. So we're all really, really excited, you know, to have MPDS and to be able to utilize this in our county.
We've talked about the possibility of longer wait times for less urgent calls. And I guess, you know, some of people may be very adept at, you know, doing first aid or, you know, they don't mind the sight of blood or whatever it is. What about these alternatives, somebody coaching somebody through the treatment? Maybe somebody doesn't feel capable or they're too distraught in the moment that they can deal with all of this. Explain a bit more how you're going to help these people. How are you going to talk somebody through when they want, you know, an expert there or somebody capable instead of themselves?
Rob, I guess through the dispatches, the communications officers, and they are currently do it now. And I think it's just that de-escalation training. And you know what? You bring up a good point, because if someone is distraught in that would probably and would bring them up to a higher level. So again, depending on the resources, maybe sending a first response vehicle, a supervisor, or tiering it with our fire, and getting assistance to that person. Because again, the anxiety, the concern, if somebody is having a hard time, then that would be being able to take into account and perhaps change the level and override. And that is the key to MPDS. They can override it and they can listen to that person and take their information. If you look at the current system, it's very much card orientated and they can't go beyond or question beyond the questions on the card. So we're currently, this new system is more individualized, it's more personalized. And so I'd probably perhaps say they'll get a better response now, even from the dispatcher and through the discussion from the communications officers, because they can have that conversation when they ask, tell me what happened, what's going on, et cetera, and having those callbacks, those check-in points and doing updates with the person. So I think this new system, more effective, more efficient, and, you know, even perhaps more personalized.
I'm sure there are listeners out there that are cynical and saying, this sounds a lot like we're cutting services. We're reducing what's going on and I'm not going to be served as well. What would you say to them?
I would say, no, that's not the way it is. And this, as I said, this has been around for some time. Lots of pilot studies, you know, 15 years ago said that this was the way to go, that a medical priority dispatch system was the most effective and efficient way to use the resources. There's been no cuts. Actually, there's probably been, you know, some enhancements, because if you've got the checkpoints, the callbacks, more communication officers on board, better education, more medical education, to be able to really listen to what the person is saying, pick up their cues, and be able to help them. And then from the, as far as the paramedics are concerned, you know, it again, getting better information. Is that person always short of breath, or is this a new onset of shortness of breath? Being able to help the person better. So I think we're investing and we're implementing a system that is more effective, more efficient, and that will serve our community better.
One of the things we haven't talked about is the impact on emergency rooms. Now that people are going to be talking, I mean, it may be something that you might get advice to, hey, call your doctor or go to a walk-in clinic or, you know, something alternative rather than going to the emergency room. How much of the implementation of this is aimed at that goal of trying to reduce the pressures on emergency rooms?
So I would say not directly, but again, we're probably doing the exact same system as when you go into the emergency room. As you go in there and you're triaged by the nurse, it's either you go directly through the doors, and sometimes you wish you weren't that person because you're pretty sick if you're going right in, or that, you know, you're being triaged into the waiting room to a time that based on what's in that emergency room and what the capacity is. So it's the same thing for us out in the field now. You know, being able to prioritize and get to those sickest people the quickest and most efficient. You know, I think there's other programs. I know we've talked, Rob, about community paramedics, you know, and how that's making a difference and a change in the system by decreasing the 911 calls, you know, perhaps bringing care to homes when it's more of a chronic difficulty, you know, even sometimes mobility, you know, if they're rural individuals out and living in the rural. So I think those kinds of programs or our treat and release, those ones are trying to divert from the emergency room and providing the best care possible and keeping the people safe as well.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because that segues really nicely into my next question, which was this change is on top of all these other programs that you guys offer. Can you explain how is this going to all mesh together so that you can keep the same level of service?
Yeah, so I think this is that's a great question. And I think there's so many different ways that this can evolve from it. So like I say, a person who's been triaged to green, you know, we look at that and is that a person who even needs to go to the emergency department? You know, or like we said, the walk-in clinics, calling 211, 811. And perhaps, you know, an evolution of our community paramedicine program could be more of a spin-off to help those people. You know, perhaps we can say we'll have a community paramedic come to your house. But again, that would be through evolution. Our current program now wouldn't really have the capacity to do that. But that, you know, is another way that paramedics, I think, have stepped up into this healthcare crisis. They've got so many tools, techniques, training, and capabilities that I could definitely see that, you know, if you're perhaps a green, that could potentially wait up to 4 hours. And it's not going to say you're going to wait 4 hours, but, you know, maybe that is a way that we could further develop our system to sending out paramedics in a non-acute situation as first responders in a, you know, in a vehicle and getting the assistance that those patients need. Because everyone, you know, is important. Everyone needs that help and we want to help the people. But I think it, you know, in this day and age, we really need to ensure that if someone's having that massive heart attack, you need an ambulance there in minutes. And it's trying to, again, use our resources the most effectively and the most efficiently.
Just for listeners who may not know, besides your emergency service, can you just give us a quick list of the other services that you guys offer?
So through Community Paramedics, we have a lot of different cohorts. And what I say is different patient focuses. So we have one, a CPLTC, and that's the Community Paramedics Long-Term Care. And that's trying to help those elderly patients that we have in our community that are either on the wait list for long-term care, and we can appreciate those wait lists are long, very long, or people who have the ability or the near future to be there. So sometimes, you know, these are the seniors that are out in our community, caregivers that may live with them but may not, and they're trying to live and want to live in their home, you know, safely and independently. And that's what this program offers. That program allows us to go to their homes ensure that they're safe and that they're being cared for. We can do remote patient monitoring on that cohort, and it's truly about keeping them safe at their home. Another program through our community paramedic and through Ontario Health is keeping and diverting people from our emergency rooms, as we've spoken. So it's how do we provide care for them? A lot of things, if we're in a bigger center, it looks at alternative destinations of care. We're not quite there yet, but what we can do is treat and then discharge. So sometimes we may get to that asthmatic patient, and with our Ventolin puffers and different medication, we can actually help them. Or that diabetic, we can give them, our dextrose, and we can give them glucagon and stop that diabetic emergency. So we do have certain situations where we can treat them at home and then release them back to their family physician, et cetera. And so we go through that training of how do we leave people home once we've already fixed them or treated them. And, they don't need to go to the hospital. That acute situation has now been dealt with and helped.
So what's next?
Wow. You know what? It's an exciting time, definitely. And I really think that this medical priority dispatch system, as we've spoken about really early, there's so many different ways and different possibilities to spin this off. And I think, again, it's just getting to the right resource to the right person at the right time. And even saying that, as we've talked about, is the end goal the hospital, or is it the doctor's office, or is it a drop-in clinic, or is it truly expanding the ability of community paramedicine, non-acute community paramedicine? Maybe it's stitches. Maybe someone has a laceration in the finger. And so maybe, a community paramedic as a green could go there, wash it, and maybe do stitches. And I think we see that in some of the other countries. And I think it's a way that we could get there. And this, I think, is the first stepping stone to get there. But I think it's such an exciting time. There's so many different possibilities that can evolve from this. And that, I'm very excited about.
Susan Brown, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, Robert.
That was Susan Brown, Chief of Northumberland Paramedics. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.